dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Pastor Frank Gomes from the Northbrook Fellowship in North Branch, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, good morning. It was John F. Kennedy who said in a famous speech, "Ask not what your country could do for you, but ask rather what you can do for your country." That sentiment derives from a very profound spiritual principle of for you and I not to ask what we can receive from life and relationships, but rather what you and I can contribute. And we are in a unique position, aren't we, to contribute to this world that we live in. Will you pray with me as I pray the prayer from St. Francis of Assisi? Let's pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. God, my prayer that this will be so. For your glory we pray. Amen.
Then we'll turn around and pledge the flag here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Nice message, yeah. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogamiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Uyghur. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. Senator Boniff is here. First order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports be printed and today's agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are three on today's printed agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will take these motions as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Latz. Senator Latz, did you have a motion to make? Senator Latz, did you wish to re-refer Senate File 680, and have you talked to both of the authors? Senator Latz?
Mr. President, yes, I move to re-refer Senate File, is it 680? And I've talked to both the authors, the chairs of the committees, and that's what they agree to.
Any questions on re-referral? All those in favor, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Cohen, did you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 11, which is now number one in general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senator, this is your bill. Is that correct, Senator Cohen? On the Cohen motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There are a couple of resolutions on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolutions will be sent to the Rules Committee. Any other, Senator?
Mr. President.
Vanderbilt, did you?
Mr. President, I move pursuant to Rule 5.1, I move to withdraw Senate File 246 from the Committee on Rules and Administration, give it a second reading, and place it on general orders. And I request a roll call.
Senator Vandiver, is it your bill? And then explain to the body what you're doing and why.
Mr. President, it's in order now, but I was going to say the Senate is not in order. I couldn't hear.
Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 246 is a bill version of the resolution that I offered a week or so ago to have the Senate take up on the floor its per diem decisions this session. And this bill would allow us all individually to discuss, debate, and vote on the per diem issue for this session. That is what the bill is, and I think, Mr. President, that the issue is that the per diem increase was decided in the Rules Committee, and I think it's one that needs to be decided and discussed here on the floor of the Senate, because I think it's one that, you know, we are individually accountable for it.
Senator Vandiver. Well, the motion. The motion is to recall the bill from committee and give it its second reading, and place the bill on general orders. Discussion. The motion takes 34 votes. Discussion. Secretary, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, would the senator yield?
Senator will yield. Senator Pogemiller.
Senator, as I am looking at the bill referral, this was referred to the Rules Committee on January 25th. What is it that's so urgent that the work on education and transportation and other major issues of the Senate need to be set aside so that your bill can be heard quicker than everybody else's?
Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. The urgency is that the practice of dispensing the per diem is underway. Members are receiving their per diem pay, and as we move along through the session, it might be difficult to pay it back if it doesn't go well. But the other concern is that we made the motion, we attempted to have this discussion 2 weeks ago. The majority didn't want to do that. And so now it's a couple weeks later. I waited for time for the committee to take the bill up. They haven't. I requested a hearing at this as soon as the bill came on the calendar. I haven't gotten any notice of hearing. and some would argue that it's not likely I would get a hearing. But, you know, without making that assumption, members, I think this is, too, an opportunity for everybody to have input into this process, to open it up to the public in a way that we can all be seen, and our decisions and our votes can be seen by our constituents. So I think it is relatively urgent. I think it is important, and I think we should proceed with it. And Mr. President, I move a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Vandiver, did you have a motion to?
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings be dispensed with and the sergeant be directed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Any further discussion on the Vandiver motion? Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Vandiver may not be aware that my policy as a committee chair has been to hear all bills. And I think it's unfortunate that Senator Vandiver can't wait for his bill to be heard. But I would certainly encourage members not to pull a bill out of committee, particularly from a chair who has had a history of hearing all bills. And I will certainly use the vote of the Senate as to whether this bill should be heard at all. Senator Vandiver seems to be in a hurry, but perhaps he should wait for the process to work.
Senator Vandiver.
Well, Mr. President, Mr. Majority Leader, part of the urgency is the checks are being written, you know, as we speak, and the consequences of the decision are being implemented. And I think, again, the question is, you know, why are we afraid to bring this issue up and deal with it here on the floor? If we're confident it was the right decision, and if we believe that we made the correct decision, there is nothing wrong with debating it here, with discussing it, and with voting on it. And it doesn't have to tie the Senate up indefinitely if we can just bring it up and do it. So I don't, you know, I don't think that it's a big deal to pull it out of committee now and vote on it. And I appreciate the fact, Mr. Majority Leader, that you do hear all bills. But, you know, we could be halfway through the session. I know your committee is busy, and this will just save you some time with that. And the people of Minnesota will, I believe, benefit from the open and transparent process that they would see here today.
Further discussion on the Vandiver motion. A green vote would support the Vandiver motion to recall the bill from committee. Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 19 ayes and 46 nays. The motion is not adopted. Are we on general orders now? Any other motions? Senator, next order of business is general orders, calendar for the day. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. President, I would designate number one has been referred back to committee, so I designate number two and number three.
Okay. First bill under consideration on general orders will be House File Number 110, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that House File Number 110 be recommended to pass. Mr. Chairman and members, House File 110, and I may end up referring to it as Senate File 38 because the language is identical, and it is the introduced version in the Senate, is the proposal to enact the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin Water Resources Compact. On your desk, you have a packet of information about the compact that I'd like to refer to before I then go through the bill. The major players for the state of Minnesota in developing this compact over the last 6 or 7 years has been Mr. Locusmo from the Department of Natural Resources. The issue, if you'll look on page 3, is indeed the challenge that has come when various entities have requested diversions of water outside of the Great Lakes watershed. And there is a map on the first page that indicates the extensiveness of the watershed. Over the last 6 years, there have been discussions among the Great Lakes states, all 8 of them. I'm privileged to serve on the Great Lakes Commission, which is a binational group that involves not only the Great Lakes states, but also the provinces of Ontario and Quebec. The end result of the negotiations that have gone on since that time has been the compact, which is before you today. It is only among the 8 states. The 2 provinces are not party to it, although they've indicated that they would sign side agreements that reflect their support for ratification of the compact. It was brought to us by the Council of Great Lakes Governors. It has been supported by these efforts have been supported by the last 3 governors, including Carlson, Ventura, and our own Governor Pawlenty, who signed the compact in December of 2005. All the Great Lakes governors did that to urge their legislatures to adopt the compact. Minnesota, if you look at page 4, Minnesota has 7% of the land area within the Great Lakes Basin, and other states have varying amounts of it. Michigan is almost entirely within the Great Lakes Basin. Our population within the basin is about 150,000. The Great Lakes comprise about 18% of all of the fresh water on our planet. The one of the issues about the diversions of the Great Lakes water out of the Great Lakes is what to do about communities that are half in and half outside of the Great Lakes Basin. Maybe they're part of another basin, and that certainly is true for a number of Minnesota cities in the north, and they are listed there for you, and they are taken care of within the Great Lakes Compact by not counting water that is used by those communities as an inappropriate use. The chronology for the Great Lakes regulation of the Great Lakes and cooperation among the various entities in the Great Lakes Basin is given to you on on page 5. And one of the important things that led to the compact was a proposal in the 1980s that would have allowed the coal slurry pipeline from Montana to use Lake Superior water, which was not allowed, but then brought about the Great Lakes Charter, which was a non-binding agreement among the Great Lakes and the two provinces to pay attention to any kinds of proposals to divert the water. Following that, the federal government acted in the Water Resources Development Act in 1986, which is referred to generally as WRDA, and it has not been the most successful federal legislation to accomplish the goals that the compact, we hope, will indeed bring about. On page 6 is a discussion of Minnesota's program. Minnesota has the most comprehensive water management program within the basin. We've had water permitting for appropriation since 1937. No other state has a more developed program than Minnesota. By adopting the compact, we have much stricter regulations and statutes about diversions and permitting than any of the other states, and Minnesota would have to change none of its laws to effectuate the compact. On page 7 are details some of the water uses of the basin, and on page 8 are some of the concerns that have been raised over the last 6 or 7 years from the state of Minnesota in the way in which we have had an impact both through our DNR representation and our governors, and I would invite you to take a look at that. Also, the compact has had a lot of public input. In Minnesota, there have been 3 public meetings to advise interested parties about the agreements, starting in 2 in 04 and 1 in 05, preceding the signing of the document by Governor Pawlenty. In general, across the Great Lakes, there have been 10,000 comments that were received in putting the compact together. As to the bill itself, there are 8 articles. The first article deals with definitions and findings, including 2 key definitions with regard to new or increased diversions and new or increased withdrawals or consumptive uses. The most important finding is found on page 5, paragraph 8F under section 1.3, that the parties have agreed that we all have a shared duty to protect, conserve, restore, improve, and manage the renewable but finite waters of the basin, not only for the benefit of the current generations, but for generations to come. Article 2 is the organization. A council is created that is represented by all of the 8 Great Lakes states by their governors or his or her designee. The decisions are made by a simple majority, and there is an additional organizational statements in the rest of that in that article. The council itself can set up advisory committees to talk to it about its practices and standards. Article 3 entails the general powers and the duties of the council. This is an exercise of joint powers of sovereignty by the states so that we can assert ourselves before the before the federal government. Following the adoption of the compact by the eight states, the compact then has to be consented to by the federal government and by the Congress. Article 4 discusses the duties of the states and the standards that must be complied with in allowing for diversions and consumptive uses. Right now, and in the compact, every current use is grandfathered in. The bill and the compact has the support of the environmental community, of the certainly of Governor Pawlenty, and of the business community and those concerned about the economic development in the Great Lakes. Article 5 calls upon the council to make appropriate consultations with the tribes and First Nations. Article 6 deals with calling upon the council to follow an open meeting law approach to receiving input from the public. Article 7 deals with dispute resolution and enforcement. The council itself can sue or be sued. Article 8 talks about the impact of the compact on existing rights. And Article 9 indicates the process by which the compact is brought into effect. There are a number of compacts that Minnesota participates in, 23 of them to be exact, that we were able to find. Some of them are fairly simple ones. There's one that between Wisconsin and Minnesota that settles border disputes, as a matter of fact. There are compacts that deal with adoption. They're adult offender supervision, ones that we have adopted over the years. And if anyone is interested, I can give you the statutory sites on that. So, Mr. Chairman and members, I would appreciate your support of the compact. Every state has to adopt the identical language in order to have it be effective.
Okay, any further discussion on House File 110? Senator Limmer. Senator Limmer, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Rest yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rest, I'm looking over the handout that you passed out on Great Lakes Compact. And on page 6 of that, it makes reference to Minnesota's program. And it also makes reference to water use priorities. In the event that this compact is passed by Minnesota, would we have an opportunity as a state? Do we have a governing authority or permissive authority to use water for certain circumstances out of Lake Superior? Or are we now denying in the future any use of water from that lake?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer, that's an excellent question. Minnesota's own rules, regulations, and statutes are far more restrictive than anything that would that is in this compact. The DNR estimated that there would be it would be almost incomprehensible that there would ever be a request from the state of Minnesota to the council that would rise to that level to actually ask for their consideration of that. For example, we require a permit for anyone who uses 10,000 gallons of water per day, and the standard for that is going to be in the compact is 5 million gallons per day. So we're far more restrictive. It's unlikely in any, as they stated, business interests stated as well, unlikely that we would ever have a use or an appropriate use or a desirable use that would rise to the level of making a request of the council.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rest, I know times come up that sometimes allow us to question our public policies at times. An example that I might consider as that might trigger a discussion on public policy might be during a time of agricultural drought. I don't think we right now, even during drought times, authorize the use of water from Lake Superior to help irrigate farm fields. And I don't know if this would further deny that opportunity. Or in times of perhaps a forest fire, that water may need to be drafted up by aircraft and then dispersed on a nearby fire. Is the new compact that you've proposed to us, would that change anything according to existing use of that lake water?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, no.
Further discussion on House Bill 110. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Rest, I also just have maybe one question at least, and that has to do with the issue of the compact and any kind of escape clause. Should, for instance, we at a point in time feel that this compact is not in the best interest of Minnesota, is there an escape clause from this compact?
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Senjum, also a good question, and I would direct your attention to the last article in the compact. In order to undo the compact, you would need a majority vote to undo it, but nobody's rights are impaired under it. So whatever we have now, whatever the states have as rights and privileges now are retained, but once the compact is agreed to, in order to undo the compact, you would need a majority vote of the states that had signed it.
A further discussion on House File 110. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, would Senator Rest yield, please?
Senator Rest will yield. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rest, this is with 8 states plus, I believe, 2 Canadian provinces. Is that correct?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Wergen, this is not a treaty. This is a compact among the 8 states. However, the provinces of Quebec and Ontario are within the Great Lakes Basin, and they have voluntarily agreed to abide by the compact once the 8 states have passed it and it's been consented to by Congress.
Thank you.
Senator Wergen. Further discussion on House File 110. Seeing none, the question reoccurs on the motion of Senator Rest that House File number 110 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next bill. Next bill under consideration on general orders this morning will be Senate File 321, Senator Betzold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 321 be recommended to pass.
Senator Betzold.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a rather simple bill. There's a Minnesota Statute 471.59 lists a number of local government entities that are allowed to enter into joint powers agreements, and basically this is so that they can share in the joint purchasing power for the consortium. One entity that is not listed that this bill proposed to add are the independent nonprofit firefighting corporations. There are about 700 volunteer fire departments across the state, and they are all part of this joint powers agreement right now because they are part of the municipalities. There are about 80 independent nonprofit firefighting corporations that are separate because they are independent corporations. They are not part of their municipalities. This simply puts them on par with the other 700 volunteer firefighting associations so that they can also be part of the joint powers purchasing consortium. It's a simple bill, Mr. Chairman. I just stand for any questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 321. Senator Pearsall.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wonder if Senator Betzel would yield to a question.
Senator Betzel will yield. Senator Pearsall.
As I read the description of this bill, it sounds like a good thing to do, but does it impact any other relationships such as pensions or other kinds of relationships where they jointly respond to particular fires in some places where they need more than one department at the same time?
Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pearsall, no, it doesn't affect anything on pensions. It simply adds them to the list that already exists on local government entities that can enter into contracting arrangements. And again, it's for there's a state purchasing consortium, which if you're part of it, you can basically purchase things at a discount. And as you can see, virtually every local government is listed, as well as the University of Minnesota nonprofit hospitals. For some reason, the 80 independent firefighting corporations that are similar to the local firefighting nonprofit, the firefighting groups, they're just not listed. There's 700 local fire departments that are in there. There's 80 that just they're organized in a different way. This puts them on par with the other 700.
Any further questions on Senate File 321? Seeing none, Senator Betzel renews his motion that Senate File 321 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller, do you wish to adopt the report?
Is the Senate in order?
Yes. Senate would be in order. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole be kept, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next order of business. As Senate bill introductions, they are printed on today's agenda without objection. First reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, Senator Stump and Fischbach will be excused from all today's session all day. Senator Pogermiller. Senator Higgins.
Thanks, Mr. President. The Public Safety Budget Division will be meeting at 3 o'clock today in room 112.
Senator Pogermiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I move that the Senate adjourn till Thursday, February 15th, 11 a.m.
On the Pogermiller motion to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.